Magandang gabi sa inyo lahat. I am Pastor Alvin and I serve as the pastor ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. We are in the seventh and last week of our study in the book of Acts para sa taon na ito. The second volume of Dr. Luke's two-part book focuses on what Jesus continued to teach and do. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension, He and God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to empower, enable, and to embolden His followers to preach the gospel sa Jerusalem as Jesus instructed. At nang dahil sa faithful preaching of the risen Jesus, thousands came to faith in Christ, were baptized, and then added to the church. At nang dahil sa faithful preaching na ito, we have seen ang early church was born. Ang early church ay characterized by power, preaching, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and last week we saw persecution. Iniwan natin last week ang mga followers si Jesus praying. And what were they praying for? Boldness. They were praying for boldness to continue proclaiming the risen Christ amidst of persecution. Yun ang kanilang prayer request. Na magpatuloy nawa ang gawain ng pag-preach ng gospel sa buong Jerusalem sa kalagitnaan po ng persecution. And this time, hindi lang si Peter and John ang naging bold. Ang buong community ang naging bold in declaring this glorious gospel. Hindi lamang sila naging isa sa kanilang evangelistic efforts, lumalim din ang kanilang pagkakaisa bilang community. Dahil sa sense of fellowship or commonality na kanilang nararanasan, nagkaroon sila ng malalim na pagmamalasakit sa bawat isa. And that resulted to practically helping one another. At so yun ang titignan po natin ngayong gabi sa passage na ito. Ang main idea ng ating text is this. A gospel-saturated community is marked by radical generosity and not by shameless dishonesty. A gospel-saturated community is marked by radical generosity and not shameless dishonesty. We only have 2 points tonight to end itong series na to for the year. Number one, great grace. Verses 32 to 36 in chapter 4. And number two, great fear. Chapter 5, verses 1 hanggang 11. Great grace, great fear. Number one, great grace. 32 to 33. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. The early church has experienced exponential growth, o yung tinatawag na rapid growth pagdating sa bilang. Nagsimula sila sa upper room of 120, naging 3,120 na kasi nadagdagan sila ng 3,000 after ng preaching ni Peter sa Pentecost, after na pinagaling ni Peter yung lame beggar at nag-preach uli ng gospel, 5,000 ang total men sa kanilang roster, sa kanilang bilang. Nakikita, 5,000 men po, hindi pa po kasama ang mga babae ron, hindi pa kasama ang mga bata ron. So we're talking about 10, 15, 20,000 believers. Ang dami. Itong community ay hindi a community na kung saan, a community or fellowship ng mga magkakaibigan. Hindi po ito fellowship ng magkakamag-anak. This community was brought and bought together by the blood of the crucified, risen Christ. Hindi lang ang bilang ng mga tao sa church ang thriving, but also ang kanilang community life. There was supernatural unity or oneness among believers. This explains why they are in one heart and soul. They are one spiritually. They have one Savior, Jesus Christ. They have one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have one purpose, to make Jesus Christ known. At yung prayer request nila na nakita natin last week, na to be bold proclaimers of the gospel, sinagot ng Panginoon sa verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace here means favor. God gave favor sa kanilang prayer. As a result, He empowered gospel preaching and blessed the community all the more. But not only were they one spiritually, they were also one materially. Verse 34 to 35. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need and laid it at the apostles' feet. The early Christians shared everything, lahat. We saw glimpses of that in chapter 2, verse 45, when they were selling yung mga possessions and belongings nila, at binibigay ng mga nakabenta sa mga mananampalataya o kapatiran na may pangangailangan. Yung ganitong klaseng gawain ay nagpatuloy dito sa chapter na ito. Pero this time, nag-pitch in na mga middle class at saka mga mayayaman. Nagbenta sila ng mga bahay at lupa nila. At binigay ang mga proceeds ng kanilang sales sa mga apostles who oversee the distribution ng mga resources. This collective gathering ng resources had met needs ng mga kapatid. In short, wala pong na may nangangailangan sa kanila. Wala pong natutulog sa kalsada, walang nagugutom, wala pong napapabayaan. Wala naman nabanggit na binenta nila lahat ng kanilang bahay at lupa, nor sapilitan nilang ginawa ito. This was not even mandated by the apostles. Ginawa nila ito as a sign of their mutual commitment to God and to one another. Isang palatandaan na pamilya na ang turingan nila sa bawat isa. Imagine, 20,000 pamilya ang turingan. That's amazing. They were able to do this hindi dahil sa kanilang angking lakas o kabutihan, but because of God's grace working in and through them. This is a good reminder to those of us whom the Lord has financially blessed and materially blessed. Ang financial at material blessing natin, first and foremost, ay nagmula sa Panginoon. Ganyan po yan. We must see this as both God's grace to us and at the same time gifts to steward faithfully, kasi we will be accountable sa Kanya sa lahat ng mga pinagkatiwala niya sa atin. Unang Timoteo 6:17-19, sa mabuting balita Biblia, ang mayayaman sa material na bagay ay utusan mong huwag magmataas at huwag umasa sa kayamanang lumilipas. Sa halip, umasa sila sa Diyos na sa masaganang nagbibigay ng lahat ng mga bagay para sa ating kasiyahan. Utusan mo silang gumawa ng mabuti at magpakayaman sa mabubuting gawa, maging bukas palad at matulungin sa kapwa. Sa gayon, makakapag-impok sila para sa mabuting pundasyon sa hinaharap at makakamtan nila ang tunay na buhay. Ang mga nagbenta ng bahay at lupa para tumulong sa mga nangangailangan kapatid, showed their trust in Jesus, showed their concern to the brothers and sisters sa community. So mga kaibigan, as we reflect on this part ng passage, how is our concern and care for the brothers and sisters dito sa Crossroads? Do we know their cares and concerns? Do we know their hurts and their tears? Have we ever considered approaching, talking, messaging, meeting up members dito sa Crossroads? We will never know unless we truly approach and intentionally build relationships sa kanila. Although hindi lahat sa atin are called to sell houses and properties, to give to the needs ng mga kapatiran, but how are we stewarding the resources that the Lord have entrusted sa atin? How are we stewarding that? Pastor, nabanggit nyo, puro mayayaman pala yung mga middle class yung nagbigay. Hindi naman kami mayaman. So, hindi ho para sa amin ito, tama? Well, I still believe na hindi lang ito sa mga mayayaman, yung immediate application yung ginawa nila ito, kundi para sa ating lahat, who the Lord has entrusted His money to. The Lord has entrusted His money, His material things sa atin. So friends, how has your giving to the Lord been lately? Kamusta ang inyong pagkakaloob sa Panginoon? Tinanong ko po ito dahil wala po akong hangarin malaman kung magkano po ang inyong binibigay at kung sino yung nagkakaloob. Pero concern po ako sa heart attitude natin sa pagkakaloob. Allow me to give a short teaching about money ngayong oras na ito. Or about God's money entrusted sa atin. Alam ko karamihan sa inyo ay nagmumula sa mga churches na kung saan abused you about your money. I'm sorry about that. Hindi po ito yung aking hangarin. Ang hangarin ko ay tulungan kayo magkaroon ng isang biblikal na pag-uunawa pagdating po sa pera o sa lapi o sa mga material na bagay. So let me give you at least four things. Four quick things. Unang-una, giving should be a response to God who has been good to us. Giving should be a response to how good God has been to you and to your family. For us to have such affections, we should be reminded of the gospel. We should be reminded that though we were sinners, Christ gave His life for us on the cross. He has redeemed us, justified us. He has shown us mercy. Mercy means we don't get what we deserve, which is hell. And He has shown us grace. We get what we don't deserve, which is salvation. Giving is not a payment for His goodness. It is a sign of our gratitude as recipients of His goodness. Second, giving should be generous and cheerful. Giving should be generous and cheerful. Pangalawang Korinto, Siyam, Siyete, ito. Ang bawat isa'y dapat magbigay ayon sa kanyang pasya, maluwag sa loob at hindi napipilitan lamang, sapagkat iniibig ng Diyos ang nagbibigay ng may kagalakan. Giving is an opportunity to give thanks and praise to the gift giver, which is God. Giving this way increases our faith. Giving not only expresses our attitude to God, but also entrusts our needs to Him. The more we give to the Lord, which means mas lumalalim, mas nag-uunawa natin, bakit tayo nagbibigay? Tayo nagpapasalama, tayo sinasabi natin, Panginoon, pinakakatiwala ko lahat ng mga bagay sa aming buhay bilang pamilya. And this is my joy to give. Third, giving generously and cheerfully is a way to kill idolatry of money and materialism. Ang pagkakaloob po ng may kasiyahan o kagalakan sa ating puso and generously, sacrificially, ang nangyayari po dyan ay nakakatulong po yan sa pagpatay sa mga Diyos-Diyosa natin sa materialism. Sabi sa Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Money and material things have the power to enslave us, to derail us sa purpose na kung saan din gusto sa atin ng Panginoon. Giving is a means from God to protect us from this power. Fourth, giving towards kingdom purposes helps advance the gospel. Giving towards kingdom purposes helps advance the gospel. Hindi kailangan ng Diyos ang iyong pera. Alam ko, hindi ito ang first time na narinig niyo sa akin. Pero God doesn't need your money. Crossroads does. Okay? Crossroads needs your money. Kailangan po yan. Because Crossroads needs to pay rent. Crossroads needs to pay their staff salaries, resources, training, and a lot of things na kung saan binabayaran po natin pagdating sa bills. And now, we pray and prepare to move our gathering to a different location in order to be a beacon of light for the gospel in Dera and its surrounding communities. So, we pray. We pray that there will be an increase of worshipers in these locations, in its neighboring communities. That's really our prayer, na madagdagan po ang worshipers at Dera in its surrounding communities as the gospel is proclaimed, as we became a beacon of light to this place. Link arms with other churches and to make Christ look glorious. These are our prayer. And so, the early church's love and concern for each other led to supernatural generosity. And Dr. Luke even mentioned a person to model this kind of generosity. Tingnan po natin sa verse 36. Thus Joseph, who was also called the Apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Dr. Luke introduces sa kanyang readers si Joseph, who is also called Barnabas. Binanggit niya si Barnabas for at least two reasons. Una, he will be the apostle Paul's travel companion and who will pour into the lives of young believers as magpo-progress po yung Book of Acts. Second, he will use him as a contrast para sa dalawang character na ipakikilala mamaya sa chapter 5. Okay? Ang mga apostles ang nagbigay kay Joseph ng bago niyang pangalan. So tinawag siyang Barnabas, which nabanggit natin, ang ibig sabihin ay son of encouragement. Maaring yung pagmamay-aring lupa ni Barnabas ay malawak at mataba. Nung binenta po niya ito, marahil siguro malaki ang nakuha niyang proceeds o bayad or sales sa lupa na ito. At lahat ng proceeds from the sales ay binigay niya sa apostles para i-disburse sa mga apostles sa mga nangangailangang kapatiran. Ang mga apostles at mga kapatiran ay sobrang na-encourage sa kanyang generosity, and thus maybe the reason why he is called son of encouragement. Dr. Luke mentioned him a couple of reasons. Later on, he would continue again to encourage many pagdating ho ng ministry ni Apostle Paul. And again, Dr. Luke is using him as an example for believers to follow. And he also mentions a couple, kagaya na nabanggit ko, a couple that they should not follow. At sino yung dalawang character na gusto gamitin ni Dr. Luke na kakontra or ka-opposite mismo ni Barnabas? Tingnan po natin yung number 2. Great fear. But a man named Ananias, his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose up and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, "Well, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church, upon all who heard of these things. So we are introduced kay Ananias at Sapphira sa passage po na ito. Gaya ni Barnabas, nagbenta din sila ng lupa. Gaya ni Barnabas, binigay din na lahat ng mga proceeds and sales mismo sa apostles. Pero lahat nga ba ang tanong? Ang pagkakaiba lang siguro ng dalawang grupo, ng tatlong ito, ni Ananias and Sapphira at ni Barnabas, is nabanggit po sa verse 1. Ito po yung difference nila. He, Ananias, kept back for himself some of the proceeds. That's the difference. When my son P was studying this passage this week in preparation para sa community group, he wrestled sa verse na ito. He was wrestling with this part ng passage. So tinanong niya po ako, ano naman ang masama doon? Probably that's your question. Ano na naman masama yun? Ano naman sa masama ginawa na? Di ba kanila naman talaga yun? Wala ba silang right mag-decide kung magkano ang kanilang ibibigay? He was thinking, since kanila naman ang property, pwede naman sila mag-decide kung magkano ang ibibigay at hindi ibibigay. Which is true. Tama po yun. At first glance, ito talaga ang papasok sa ating isipan. Hindi po ba? Pero mabigat ang ginawa nila sa harapan ng Panginoon. Hindi lang ho ganun kasimple. First of all, hindi naman sila inobliga ng mga apostles ibenta ang lupa. Pangalawa, hindi rin sila obligado ibigay ang mga proceeds na yon sa mga apostles. Pero ang kwento na ginawa ng mag-asawa, nung binigay nila po yung pera sa apostles, na ito lahat ng pera na kung saan natanggap namin sa pagbenta namin ng lupa na ito. Yun po ang kanilang sinabi. Maaring mahal nila na benta siguro yung lupa, kaya nagbago sila ng isip. O marahil siguro ito na rin yung talagang original plan, na kumikbak ng konti at sasabihin na ito yung tamang halaga ng lupa. Now, yung ginamit ni Luke na words dito na he kept back for himself some of the proceeds ay once lang ginamit sa Old Testament. At matatagpuan po ito sa chapter 7, verse 1 ng book of Joshua. Ito ang story ni Achan. Bago sakupin ng mga Israelites ang great city ng Jericho, nagbigay ng instructions ang Panginoon na huwag kukunin yung mga spoils of war. Huwag kukunin yung mga magpagpa-plunder dahil of the goods are to be devoted to the Lord. Yun po. At anong naging problema? Makikita po natin sa Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 and 21. Here's the problem. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Verse 21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with silver underneath. Yun ang sinabi ni Achan. And as the story goes, ang Israelites ay tinalo dahil sa ginawang kasalanan nila yun. Tinalo po sila ng maliit na nation called Ai. At dahil doon, hindi lang po si Achan ang ginudge ng Panginoon. Yung buong pamilya niya, buong angka nila ay ginudge to death. Medyo loaded yung sinabi ni Achan dito sa verse 21, ano? He saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. Ang salitang took sa part na yon, na ang ibig sabihin ay stole. Yun yung part na ginamit dito ni Luke na kept back for himself. Itong word na to na ginamit Dr. Luke describes ang ginawa ng mag-asawa. They stole. They kept back. Itong word na kung saan that was used sa kanila ni Peter. Four things we can learn from this part ng ating passage. One, the seriousness of sin. The seriousness of sin. Anong kasalanan ni Ananias at Sapphira? Marami, actually. Marami silang ginawang pagkakamali. Pero makikita po natin sa verses 3 and verse 9 and chapter 5, which is nabanggit po ni Peter. Una, they lied. And second, and they tested the Holy Spirit. They lied and tested the Holy Spirit. They lied about the amount. Pinagplanuhan po nila ito. Nakita niyo yan sa verse 1, verse 2, na kung saan, alam ng asawa. Hindi ito parang hindi alam ni Sapphira, oh, ano ba't yan ang kinabati? Hindi, they know, they planned. They agreed to do this together. This was premeditated. Premeditated yung ginawa nilang deception. So they lied. Second, they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. As we have seen sa previous verses, marami ang nagbebentahan ng bahay, marami nagbebentahan po ng lupa para makatulong sa mga pangangailangan ng mga kapatiran during that time. And Barnabas, among all the givers, was commended. He, among all the believers who gave, was commended by the apostles. Of course, news about Barnabas' generosity probably spread quickly sa 20,000 members. Remember, yung information back then was word of mouth, sa kwentuhan. At alam nyo ba kung anong ginawa ni Barnabas? And then spread all over the membership. Maaring si Ananias at Sapphira deeply desired such acclamation. They desired to be praised. Uy, okay yun na. So gusto nilang gumawa ng pangalan sa sarili nila. Gusto nilang makilala sila as the greatest givers ng early church. They pretended to be sacrificial. They pretended to be sincere. They pretended to be generous. Pero what the truth is, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Mga kapwa manlilingkod sa Panginoon, ang desire po ba natin sa paglingkod sa ating Diyos ay para mabigyan tayo ng parangal at papuri ng ibang tao? Friends, are you making light of sin? Maraming sinasabi natin, it's just a lie. Maybe one of you are just reading, parang hindi naman ganun kabigat yung ginawa ni Ananias at Sapphira. Pinatay ka agad ang Panginoon. It's just a white lie. Total, kanila naman yung pera, di ba? Pero mga kaibigan, all lies, all sins are directed against God. You have not lied to man, but to the Holy Spirit. Yun ang sinabi ni Peter. Sin is serious. Sin doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. It affects even the people that we love. And it can be devastating. Second thing we can learn from here is the craftiness of Satan. The craftiness of Satan. Pansin niyo ba sa verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Actually, kung mapapansin natin ang pagkakakwento ni Dr. Luke dito, sa verse na ito ay kaparehas ng pagkakakwento niya sa kanyang unang volume, sa Luke. Na kung saan yung pagkakakwento niya ng betrayal ni Judas kay Jesus. That Satan had filled his heart. And could it be na naaalala din ni Peter itong actual situation na ito sa Matthew 16:23 when Jesus was telling his disciples na he will suffer and be murdered and on the third day is going to rise from the dead. Tapos bigla siyang ni-rebuke ni Peter. Hindi kaya naalala niya yung part na ito doon. And then Jesus, siguro hindi niya makakalimutan ito eh. Jesus said to him in verse 23 na Matthew 16, "Get behind me, Satan." Hindi kaya naalala ni Peter yon at that moment. And he knew exactly what his master meant. Satan hated what's happening noong time na ito. The gospel is preached. Many are pulled from darkness to his light. The church is thriving. Satan is reminded of Matthew 16:23. And what is that? "I will build my church," Jesus said to Peter, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He hated it. So what does Satan do? Does he tries everything to kill, steal, and destroy the church? How? Through deception, through lying, through the love of money and materialism, through falsehood, through hypocrisy. And so we see he's really doing yung mga old tricks way back in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? Third thing we can learn from this passage is the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Sabi ni Peter kay Ananias that he had lied to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Which is saying the Holy Spirit is God and he is holy. He is set apart. He cannot look upon sin. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Ang sin ng mag-asawa was not just a puny lie. This was a sin against a holy God. God's holiness demands justice. Kaya immediately God judged ang mag-asawa. Immediately. Friends, if we are not serious sa kasalanan, God is. That is why Paul warned that no one should take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Because that is a reminder of the gospel. That is one that keeps us united. That is a family meal. For sin separates us. And here's the warning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. "Many of you are weak and ill, and some have died because they have taken the Lord's Supper for granted in an unworthy manner." Tonight, we will partake the Lord's Supper. May this moment be a moment of meditation before we take that meal together. Because God is serious with sin. God will judge sin. Revelation 21 verse 8, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Mga kaibigan, sin is so serious that God needs to send His Son, Jesus. He sent ang kanyang buktong na anak na si Jesucristo. Lived perfectly and faithfully and righteously in the sight of God. Lived a life of perfect holiness na wala ni isa sa atin ang kayang gawin. And he died the death that all of us deserve. That is our Savior. He died and was buried. Gaya ng nabanggit ni Brother Jovan kanina, hindi siya na natiling patay. on the third day has risen from the grave. That is our hope, friends. This is my hope, and this is your hope. There is an invitation to repent from our sins and put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation, for reconciliation, for cleansing, for redemption, for reconciliation to God the Father. Pero pastor, Christian na ako. There's nothing to fear, di ba? Because walang makakapagtanggal sa kaligtasan ito. Hindi ko kayang mawala itong kaligtasan ito. I have not earned it. So in short, I cannot lose it. So in short, I'm okay, di ba? Let's look at number four. The fourth thing we can learn. The great fear that came upon the church. According to writing ni John Murray, sa Principles of Conduct, he says, "It is the height of folly not to be afraid of God when there's every reason to be afraid." Kung wala kang dahilan para matakot, huwag ka matakot. Ngunit, kung namumuhay tayo, katulad ni Ananias and ni Sapphira, kung nabubuhay po tayo ng karebeldehan, kung tayo po ay namumuhay ng punong-puno ng kasinungalingan, kung tayo po ay akala natin hindi makikita, hindi madidinig ng Diyos ang ating ginagawa, kaya patuloy natin tinatago. For God is not concerned about the sin na ginagawa ko, here's my warning. You have every reason to fear. Of course, there is a fear of reverence to those who are a child of God. But if you claim, profess to be a child of God and continuing in sin, 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." If we profess to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and we love sin and hate God's people and hate God's word and care less about souls, then maybe, just maybe, there was never been a Holy Spirit that dwelt upon you. Maybe there's no regeneration na nangyari. Maybe you are not a child of God. But unlike Ananias and Sapphira, na immediate just judgment, there is grace extended sa atin tonight. There is grace. There's an invitation to turn away from sin and trust Christ for salvation. As we meditate itong time natin and be reminded of the gospel sa communion or Lord's Supper, may this time na kung saan would be honoring to God, but also deep reflection of our sins in our hope in Christ. Let me pray for us, and then we will proceed to having communion. Father God, you are holy. Forgive us if we have taken that lightly, because we are unholy and we deserve death. Not just physical death, eternal death. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who washed us, who cleansed us, reconciled us to you. I pray for those who do not have a relationship with you through the risen Christ. I pray that this night would be a night of salvation. Would you save them? I pray for brothers and sisters who are here right now, and probably they are in a situation that they are struggling with sin. Provide them sufficient grace to fight sin, to kill sin. But if there are proclaimed brothers and sisters who are continuing in sin and hiding sin. Oh, I pray, Father, extend your mercy and grace to them. I pray they would not keep hiding, but expose it to the light for their own soul's sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.